All right, good afternoon, everyone. I think this is our last, this is my last session until Pesach. We're going Ben Azmanim. We're a kollel. It's an afternoon kollel. It's going to be Rosh Chodesh Nisan. We go on Ben Azmanim. I want to thank Dr. Ira and Arlene Schwartz for sponsoring today in memory of his father, Meir Yechiel Michel Ben Hillel Eliyahu. Neshama should have an aliyah. We are... Mirtz Hashem, yeah, after Pesach, we'll continue. I work for Rabbi Shabtai. Whatever he tells me, that's what I do. So, between Rabbi Shabtai and my wife, that's more than enough responsibility. Okay, we're Maseches Kedushin Daf Lamed Gimel. If you recall, we last met. We concluded the sugya here. The Gemara talked about the notion of Chaviva Mitzvah, B'Shaita, to stand. In the context of talking about standing for Talmidei Chachamim, standing for parents, the mitzvah of showing kavod, we talked about standing for doing a mitzvah, and we saw a number of mitzvahs that we therefore have the custom to stand for. We stand for those who are giving tzedakah, Vayivarach David. We stand for a bris milah. The minhag, universal minhag, is to stand for a bris milah. And we saw in Rav Avadya, he endorses the practice that the entire attendance of a chuppah should stand for the chuppah. That too is a mitzvah. And this idea, chaviva mitzvah b'shaita, that we stand for talmidei chachamim, we stand for those who are doing mitzvot as well. Okay? So we're on Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. We pick up on the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the fifth wide line, Omar Mar. Everyone see where we are? Fifth wide line?
Gotcha.
Omar Mar. Yocho yaman mipanav mibes hakisim mibes hamirchatz. We're back to the discussion, the Braisa, about standing for talmidei chachamim, the mitzvah of standing for those who are scholars. Bnei seva takum, v'adarta pnei zakein. Again, the machlokas, we're showing them who's the seva, who's the zakein. We stand both for the ignorant elder, and we stand for the scholarly youngster. So here we're talking about, I might think you should stand for the older person, even beis hakisei beis hamerchatz. You're at the shvitz, you're in the mikvah, you're in the beis hakisei, and in comes in a zakein. We spoke about the machlokas. Is it 60 based on the Zohar? Is it 70? Nigla nister. We paskin like the nigla that we have to stand for someone when they're 70. We talked about what if you're not sure if they're 70, a suffix. We went through that tshuva and yechavidas. But anyway, somebody who surely is 70, 80, 90, walks into the Beis HaKiseh, the Beis HaMerchatz, and you are there in a compromised position. Must you stand up? Does the obligation to show honor and respect by standing apply even in such a circumstance, such a situation? So says the Gemara, Velo, are you not obligated to stand? Rabbi Chiya was sitting in the Beis HaMerchatz, Rabbi Shimon Bar Rebbe. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Rebbe came in front of Rabbi Chiya. So Rabbi Chiya was in the Beis HaMerchatz, was in the bathhouse. Right? In those days, there wasn't indoor plumbing. People did not have access to baths and showers within their home. So they went to a communal bathhouse. That's where one bathed. So Rabbi Chiya is in the communal bathhouse, and Rabbi Shimon Bar Rebbe comes in. V'lo kam mikamei. And Rabbi Chiya does not stand up for Rabbi Shimon. What happened? Ikbud. Rabbi Shimon was makbid. He was offended. Va'asa va'amar leila avua. So he went to his father. Who was his father? Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, right? Rabbi Shimon Bar Rebbe. That was a giveaway. His father was Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. So Rabbi Shimon, who's insulted, goes to his own father and he says, Shnei chumashim shanisi lo b'sefer tehillim. I've taught him 2/5 of tehillim v'lo aman mipanai. And when I walk into the bathhouse, he doesn't stand up. V'su, and here's another maisa. Bar kapara v'amri lo Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yossi. Havayase b'maschusa, whomever it was sitting in the Beis HaMerchatz. All the other Rav Shimon Bar Rebbe. Again, the same protagonist, Rav Shimon Bar Rebbe, comes in. V'lo kami kamei. And this time, it's another great scholar who doesn't stand for him. V'ikbud. Once again, Rav Shimon, the son of Rabbi Yudanasi, he's makbid, he's insulted. Also, amar li lavua, he says to his father, Shnei shlishei shlish anisi lo b'toras kohanim. I've taught him to... Shnei shlishei shlish. 2/9. No, 2 Shnei Shlishim Mishlish. 2/30.
2/3 of a third.
Of Toras Kohanim. which is Torah's Kohanim, is the Medrash Halacha on Sefer Vayikra. I've taught him a significant part of Medrash Halacha on Vayikra on Torah's Kohanim. V'lo aman mipanai, and he doesn't stand up for me. V'amalo, once again, Rabbi Danasi tells his son, relax. Shema Bahen Yoshev Umahar. Maybe you did such a good job teaching him these things that he can't stop thinking about them. So he didn't even see you walk in. He's so distracted by that which you taught him, he continues to be Mahar, he continues to think about and to think and learning in that which you've taught him. So the Gemara wonders. Taima Dubahan Yoshev Umahar. Halav Hachi Lo. So from this whole episode, right, we used all of that to ask. We said, the Brisa said, that I might have thought you have to stand for a Zakein, you stand for a Talmud Chacham or an older person, even when you're in the bathhouse, even when you're in the bathroom. And Talmud Lomar, they say, we're talking about that, Zakein. We have a Hekesh between Kima and Hidur, only a Kima that has a Hidur. Only stand when it will bestow honor. It's not bestowing honor if you stand for the great rabbi in the bathhouse or in the Beis HaKiseh. At that moment, they don't want you to stand in the Beis HaKiseh. So we're asking on that, but what do you mean? We have these two stories of Reb Shimon, Reb Yehuda Hanasi's son, who twice is makpid when he walks into a bathhouse and his students don't stand for him. So, which is it? Is it considered an honor to stand for those in the bathhouse? Or is it not an honor? So the Gemara says, Taim of the Ben Yoshev Maharir. Reb Yehuda Hanasi answers his son and he says, listen, don't be makpid on them. Maybe the reason they didn't stand, they neglected to stand, they didn't see you. And why didn't they see you? They were so distracted, they continued to think and learn, and you did such a good job teaching Sefer Tehillim, teaching Torah's Kohanim. But halav hachi, but if they weren't maharir, if they weren't distracted by the learning, then taka what? They should have stood up. So which is it? Our Brisa says, you don't stand. Talmud Lomar, Kima, Hidur, a Hekesh, that you don't stand in the Beis HaKiseh, the Beis HaMerachatz. From this story, it sounds like Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi is saying that if you're not distracted by learning, you should stand up. So Stira, which is it? Says the Gemara, Lo Kasha, Ha Bevatei Gavai, Ha Bevatei Baroi. It's not a contradiction. One, the Brisa was talking about not standing, is talking about the inner room. What's going on in the inner room? Person is in a state of undress, it's undignified. In the inner room where they're undressed, where they're either in the bath or on the Beis HaKiseh, on the Kiseh, so it's not hider to stand up. So that's when the Brisa said, Talmud Lomar, stay seated. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, the story with his son Rabbi Shimon was, consider the outside room. In the outside room, where one is changing, where one is entering, where one is not yet in a state of undress, there, it remains appropriate to stand. They didn't stand. They were Maharar B'Torah. They were still in learning. But if you're not distracted by learning, then it would be appropriate to stand. The Gemara in Shabbos Daf Yud tells us that the Beis HaMerchatz was divided into three chambers. There was the Cheder Achitzon, the outer room where people were fully dressed. The Cheder Antzoy, the middle room, where some are undressed, some are dressed, where you're getting undressed. And the Cheder Apanimi, the inner room where everyone's undressed. So you see the notion that there are multiple rooms. You know, when you get to the locker room, the whole locker room is not the shower, it's not the schwitz, it's not the steam room. So the whole entrance to the clubhouse is not the locker room. There's different rooms. So in the inner room where everyone is undressed, where the goal of being there is to be occupied with activity of the merchatz or the kiseh, then you don't stand. But in the outer room, or maybe even the inner room, where yesh v'yesh, so then it's considered to be then Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Rabbi Shimon is saying, then it's appropriate to stand. Okay.
You couldn't be Mahara in the middle room.
Oh, Hachanami Mistabra, and this makes sense. Let's just finish the Gemara. To Amar Abba Bar Chana, Amar B'Yechanan, B'chol Mokom, Mutar Laharer, Chutz Mibes HaMerkos, Mibes HaChitzeh. Now, it can't be they were being Mahara in the inner room, because you're not allowed to be Mahara B'Divrei Torah. When you're in a state of undress, you're not supposed to be thinking about Divrei Torah. So therefore, that which Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi comforted his son to say, maybe they didn't stand for you because they were thinking about Torah. Had they not been thinking about Torah, they should have stood. It makes sense that's in the entrance where people are still dressed, because otherwise they shouldn't have even been Maharir B'Torah. Says the Gemara, no, not necessarily. Dilma, la'on se shiny. maybe this din is talking about onus. Sometimes a person is thinking about Divrei Torah before they enter the Beis HaMerchatz, and it's already on their mind, it's already in their heart, and even there, in a place where they shouldn't be doing it, they're doing it, in Makom Ones, but still, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi was comforting his son, the reason they didn't stand. So you can't be medayik from the fact that they were Maharer, it must have been an outer room, so we're just offering that answer independently, but not because of this Brisa. You know, what we had the Schus, this Pesach Shabbos, our Beis Medrash hosted Rav Rosenzweig, Shlita, Rosh Hashiva at YU, Rosh Koilo of the Kol Elyon at YU. And he told a story that I asked him, we had a conversation Shabbos afternoon, and the last question I asked him was, so his Rebbe's Yurtzeit's coming up, the Rav's 25th Yurtzeit. It's hard to believe, 25 years. 25th Yurtzeit is coming up to tell us a story, give us insights into the Rav. He talked about the Rav a little bit, but then he told the story. He said, you know, the Rav, the learning was so personal to him, it so preoccupied him. He said, you know, once in shiur, the Rav would come in Tuesday to Thursday. Thursday, he would leave. And before he left, Thursday was always the longest shiur because he wouldn't leave to go back to Boston until he had resolved all the challenges, the questions, and learning that he had brought up in the shiur during the week. So Thursday was always the longest shiur because he wouldn't leave till it was resolved. So he vividly remembers one shiur on a Thursday that was going on. And the boys, the Talmidim, were less committed. And so they started to schmooze amongst themselves while the Rav was still giving the shiur and trying to resolve a difficulty in a Rambam or in a Tosfos or whatever the case may be. And the Rav turned to his shiur and he said to the boys, I don't understand. I can't leave to go back tonight to Boston without resolving this. This stira, this kasha. He said, tell me, to the boys, you can sleep tonight if we don't resolve this? You'll be able to close your eyes and fall asleep? It's possible? Rosenzweig said that left such an impression on him at a young age. He was very young when he entered the Rav shiur. Because the Rav was not saying that euphemistically or sarcastically or in an exaggerated fashion. He wasn't saying it so it could be included in a biography later. He was describing what in his kishkes he felt. Like he couldn't sleep. If there was an unresolved stira in Tosfos, an unresolved kasha in the Rambam, he pasha couldn't sleep. So it's maybe a little hard for us to connect to. But Dilma La'onse Shaini, the Gemara says, you know, you're thinking about the stira in the Rambam all day, and then you go to the Beis HaKiseh, the Beis HaMerchatz, you know, maybe onus. You can't, you're still thinking about it there. It's asur. Onus shiny. Well, what could you do about it? What could you do? It's onus. This great Gedolei Yisrael who would learn when sitting Shiva or on Tisha B'Av, who said, you know, if that's what I have to pay when I come upstairs, that it was onus. There was a makom onus. To withdraw from Torah was for them a makom onus. I remember there was a guy in Karen Biavna. Baruch Hashem, he was a big masmid. So before he went to the Beis HaKiseh, he carried around with him, there was no cell phones those days, but he carried around with him complicated math problems. When he was in the Beis HaKiseh, he would challenge himself to solve a complicated math problem, and that way he would take his mind off of learning, so that he wouldn't find himself, la'onse shayni, he wouldn't find himself a makom onus, that he was thinking and learning in the Beis HaKiseh. He set himself up to be challenged with a math problem. Okay, so the Gemara says again, it seems to be a stira. It's not a stira. When one is in the Beis HaMerchatz, the Beis HaKiseh proper, in a state of undress, doing an undignified act, you don't stand. But if you're in the entrance, then you do continue to stand. That's why Reb Shimon was makbid. But his father said, even in the entrance where they should have stood, they were maharer b'divrei Torah. So find it in your heart to forgive them. Yes, Leah.
Partitions in the bathrooms?
I don't know.
Private stalls?
It seems not. It seems like there weren't private stalls then. There was a hole in the ground. And,
I was in the army. No.
Yeah, I've been to places in Europe. And I was in the former Soviet Union. And I don't want to give you graphic detail, but there's a little push of a hole in the ground. There's a hole in the ground, and that's, yeah. They talk of it.
China as well.
So, yeah. So the shayla, do you stand up from the crouched position if a zakin, a talmid chacham, walks in? So I said, they're not interested in you standing. Even if you were supposed to, they're malchal zayin. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam, she'akol mi'ev dvaro.
Amen.
Yeah.
It's not really on the topic, but isn't there a shayla of Loshin Hover?
That he went to his father.
Good. And he talks about someone else.
So you're asking a good question. It is on the topic. So the fact that the Gemara, Reb Shimon, goes to his father and says, these two great rabbis didn't stand for me. So the Gemara could have kept it anonymous. When the Gemara tells it about them, isn't it Lashon Hara? So first of all, maybe it's not Lashon Hara because they were so Mahar B'divrei Torah that they didn't notice him. So maybe it's L'shvach, not L'gnai. They were onus. But second of all, you could ask that a much simpler question. And I, every now and then, I'm bothered by that. The Torah itself, the Chumash itself, the Ribbono Shel Olam himself, he tells us that Miriam spoke Lashon Hara. Isn't that Lashon Hara about Miriam? Elamai, we're learning from them. We're learning from them. But the Torah is filled with Korach and Dasan Vaviram and v'chulei v'chulei. So yeah. I understand. Shimon ben Rebbe didn't do anything wrong, but he's telling on Rabbi Chiya, and he's talking about Bar Kapara, and so on. Okay, Rashi. Let's just look at Rashi. Maschusa Zamerchatz, Shnei Chumashim. What is Shnei Chumashim? Sefer Tehillim is divided into Chumash. Says Rashi, Shnei Chamishios Shos Sefer Shanisilo Medrash Agudosov. That yeah, Enachanami. Rashi says the pshat is 2/5 of Tehillim. You know, Tehillim is divided in a number of different ways. Some people finish Tehillim once a month. Some finish Tehillim once a week. Some finish Tehillim once a day. But if you look in Tehillim, it's divided into books. Tosfos has a different shot. Look at Tosfos. Shnei Chumashim. Perish B'kunshish Lashon Chumash. Chumash HaSefer. A fifth of the book. V'yesh Mefarshim. Chamisha Chumashim Yesh Bo Kamo B'Shal Torah. That there are actual 5 books. Now, according to Rashi, there's not designated books. It's just take all of Tehillim, divide it in 5, and that's 2/5. For Rashi, it's a ratio, it's a proportion, it's a percentage, it's 2/5. For Tosfos, no. There's 5 designated books of Tehillim. Ashra Ish, Kayal Taro, Galfike Mayim, Achtov Yisrael, Tfilu Lamosha, Yomer Golot Gulay. V'chol Echad Min Asfarim Elu, Mesayim Ba'amein. How do you know where the books end, the 5 books of Tehillim? The first 4 books all end with the same word, Amen. Min ha'achron shu sof Tehillim. The last doesn't end with Amen. It's the Hallelujahs. It's the end of Tehillim. You don't need to be told it's the end of a book. It's the end of Tehillim. The first 4 end with Amen, which tells you it's the end of a book. And if you open a Sefer Tehillim today, you'll see it's divided into 5 Svarim of Chumash. So Machlokas Rashi, Tosas Rashi says 2/5 based on the amount of Psukim, divide it. Tosfos says, no, there are 5 designated books. Either way, Reb Shimon says, I went through 2/5 of Tehillim with them, and they don't stand for me. By the way, you see the threshold of what it means to be a Talmud. He doesn't say, I finished Shas, I said over Reb Chaim's and Reb Shimon's, I learned Tehillim. Not even all of Tehillim, 2/5 of Tehillim. And that was enough of a Talmud that it bothered Reb Shimon that they didn't stand for him. And Toras Konim, Rashi says, Sefer Vayikra, Shanisilo, Baraisa, Shal Medrash, HaSefer. Toras Konim, of course, is the Medrash Halacha on Sefer Vayikra. So, Drashi Behena Yemaharer, the Torah Hayav Elohevim Ba'avr Chalafanav, Rabbi Yudanasi comforts his son and says, they were preoccupied, they were thinking about your great teaching. And the Gemara answered, no, it's not a stira, Batei Gavayim, Batei Barai, Mokom Shemenei Adam Omdim Arumim, in the inner chamber where people are naked, V'hadar Shem V'Rebi, Batei Barai, Mokom Shemdom Levushim, Dehasa Mokom Hidderhu. And that's Mestabra, because otherwise they couldn't have been Maharer. And then we said, not so fast. Maybe they were Maharer, even when they shouldn't have been, because it was Onus. Zagrashi, Pamim, Shu, Toro, De Ma'ayin, Bishmais, Lefnek, Nisos, Lamerchots, Akorcha, Chishkuru, Befiv, Velibo, Ma'ayin, Babbebes, Hamerchots. Sometimes it's Shkuru, Befiv. It's what you're talking about, it's what you're thinking about, it's what you're living, what you're breathing. And when you go to the Beis HaKisei, Beis HaMerchots, you're Onus, you're in the middle of it, you can't stop thinking about it. But let's just look at these halachas for a moment. Go to page 2. In the handout, what taka is the halacha? So this comes from the Piskei Tshuvos. Piskei Tshuvos is a likud. It was put out 20 years ago, and I think it's now all the chalakim of Mishnah Berurah. But Piskei Tshuvos, you know, it's a take on the said. So there are sections of Shulchan Aruch that have the Piskei Tshuva. The Piskei Tshuva is a likud, a collection of tshuvos, according to the order of Shulchan Aruch, but that already stopped several centuries ago. So the Piskei Tshuvos is a contemporary work by a Chassidish Talmud Chacham in Eretz Yisrael, I forgot his name, who continued it on Or HaChaim. The Piskei Tshuvos takes the contemporary Tshuvos according to the order of Or HaChaim. It's 6 thick volumes. So here, this is in Simen Pei Hei. Or HaChaim Simen Pei Hei. He quotes Sif Beis, Shulchan Aruch, Dvarim Shalchol Mutter La'omram Sham. It's permissible to say Dvarim Shalchol in the Beis HaKisei, in the Beis HaMerchatz, Balashon HaKodesh. So you're allowed to speak Hebrew. You ever wonder? Like, what do Israelis do in the bathroom? Someone calls them, they're calling out, there's no toilet paper, there's no tissues left, or whatever the case may be. Are you allowed to talk Hebrew in the Beis HaKisei or the Beis HaMerchatz? Shulchan Aruch says, yes, Dvarim Shel Chol, mundane topics, you are. V'china kinuyim, kigon racham ne'amanuchi yotzi bahem. You're also allowed to even use names of God, which are not direct names, but are nicknames, allusions of God, like Racham Ne'eman. Aval Hashem she'enim nechakim, asa la'azkirim sham. But to use one of Hashem's names that cannot be erased, that is prohibited, to use Hashem's name in the Beis HaKisei, or the Beis HaMerchatz, in the bathroom, at the mikvah, in the bathhouse. Afilu b'loshon la'az. Not only is that true, using one of Hashem's names in Hebrew, even using Hashem's name in translation. Kigon gut, God. V'gam racham v'chanu nuchadoma. Im kavanasu l'shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, she'omer ha'racham yirachem alacha, osir. If you're using one of the names of God in the context of referencing God, even if it's a nickname or a translation, it's prohibited to do so in a bathroom, in a mikvah, and so on. So you're not allowed to use any reference to Hashem. Kigon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Rachmana, Rachmana Litzlan, Uchi Yotzi Bezeh. All of these references, all of these phrases that we use colloquially, you can catch yourself. If you're in the mikvah on a Friday, you say to somebody, Shabbat Shalom. Shalom is one of the names of Hashem. That may not be in this context, you're not referring to Hashem. But you can't say, someone says, how you feeling? Thank God. Baruch Hashem. Kadosh Baruch Hu. Rachmana Litzlan. Now he says, you shouldn't, if you're using it in the context of your kavanas l'shem shamayim. Mishnah Berurah says. Avalom atzina she'asur kol elu kishomer b'loshon la'az kegon ebishter.
So if you can say ebishter, you can say God.
So he says it's a difference.
No.
He says God is different. Ebishter, I don't know, what does ebishter mean? We use the term ebishter to reference God, but it means the one above. God means God. God means deity. So these other things mean deity. Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Blessed One, Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Rachmana Litzlan, those are all names of God. Abishter means the one above. It's a nickname for God. A nickname. What?
All of the words that are in the vernacular.
Yeah.
But
Afilu b'lashon la'az, he says, Im kavanas l'shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu asur. As the Mishnah Berurah says. So these other things are, but Abishter is an exception. It's not a name for God in translation. It's just a nickname. So if you say God in translation, it's asur to mention it in these places. But God, in not in translation, but as a reference, is permissible. Tevas Shabbos, Isa B'Svarim, Lahak B'Shlolomar M'Mekom HaSeilu, Apidivrei Azar HaKadosh, Deshaba Shabbos, Shema D'Kudosh Shabrichu. So there is the Bnei Yisachar quotes. If you look at footnote 3, the Bnei Yisachar quotes that there are some more makbid not to say Shabbos. So in the mikvah, in the bathroom, you're washing your hands and you say to somebody, have a good Shabbos. Some would say you shouldn't do that there either. Even though the Shulchan Aruch says divrei chol are permissible, there is a stringency not to use Lashon HaKodesh at all in a Beis HaMerchatz, in a bathroom or a bathhouse. Can move the Mishnah Berurah, b'shem Magen Avraham, b'shem Sefer Chasidim. Why? Shema Yavol Lahazker Eizah Dibur Kodesh Ha'asim Mekom HaSeilu. Because if you are mindful not to use Hebrew, you'll also avoid using Hashem's name or Psukim or Divrei Torah. So therefore, there's a stringency not to use Hebrew whatsoever to avoid. Now, that was a stringency, I'm going to guess, that originated in Eastern Europe. In other words, outside of Israel, where is the Hebrew is the vernacular, it's the language. V'gam etzem tzvas lashon kodesh yesh bo kedusha. V'alpi chazal, there's a lashon hakodesh itself has kedusha. So there's another reason to be makbid. Right, the Rambam famously writes, I think in a tshuva, that there's a mitzvah to teach lashon hakodesh to your children. He calls it a mitzvah. It's a language that has kedusha. And therefore, there are those who strict not to use it at all in the bathroom or in the bathhouse. Really, one should be strict not to speak at all. It's a place that's not a place for conversation. klum kishenich nesamenas lasos tzuracha. A bathroom altogether. So even the bathhouse, the Beis HaMerchatz, the spa, the schwitz, the steam room, the sauna, you shouldn't speak. You shouldn't speak in Hebrew. You can't use God's name. Beis HaKisei, it's api alacha. One's not allowed to talk. Uvinyan lahachnes sifrei kodesh v'itonim shekosav abdivrei kedusha psukim l'konselo. What about, can you bring in, I don't know, Ma'ariv, Yediot Achronot. Can you bring in Hebrew newspapers into a bathroom? Hebrew newsletters. Some of them you could actually use as toilet paper. Can you bring them in to read? Can you bring in Hebrew letters? What if there are Divrei Torah? What if there are Pesukim? So turn to the next page. On page 4 I have for you, this is Sheila Shlomo, the Tshuvas of Rav Shlomo Aviner. Rav Aviner is the Rav of Beit El, the Rosh Hashiva of Ateret Kohanim in the Old City. He has 4 volumes of tshuvas called Sheila Shlomo. So here on the bottom right, Sima Resh Tzadi Ches, he says, "Badrachas Rabos, I know I got to likro kisvei ace bechedar sherutim. Yiduli abaya shachnasas osios ivrios lemakom ze. Akacharul Rabosai. Bertzon lishalai mutu lachnis iton shabom mishulavim sukim lo b'ma'amar torani." Ella al geographia, botanica, historia, chedom lechedar sherutim lekarosham. So someone asked Rav Aviner, my practice is to read Hebrew letters in the bathroom. This is a question in Israel. I bring a Hebrew newspaper, a Hebrew newsletter, something Hebrew to read in the bathroom. Question is, if I'm reading something that references psukim, but not as psukim, it's referencing the psukim euphemistically, or it's an allusion having to do with history, having to do with geography, and so on. So Rav Aviner answers the following. Zetali ma'pasik muba l'shem melitza ba'alma, kolomar betur shimush sifroti, shas ein bo kedusha, kedivra taisus. So he says, if the phrase is being used not to communicate or transmit Torah, but the phrase is being used simply as a euphemism, so then that's permissible, as Tosus writes in Gittin. Tafke shemeschavin lichtov apasuk l'drosha, v'kshe odom shuleach igeras l'chavero, muto shiyichtov k'loshon ha'mikra, k'dei lichtov l'oshon tzach. So when did this came up? This came up for us. When we did the slogan of our shul is Ki Ishechad B'Lev Echad. Ki Ishechad B'Lev Echad is Chazal. Rashi quotes that Vayachanu Yisrael Neged Ahar, Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar. Why does it say in the singular? Ki Ishechad B'Lev Echad. This is the motto of our community. Ki Ishechad B'Lev Echad. So it's in our logo. So many years ago, Matthew decided he was going to make a beautiful mat for the entrance of the shul. And the logo of the shul would be on the mat when you came in, and everybody will wipe their feet on this mat, and they'll wipe their feet on the logo, and they'll wipe their feet on the words Ki Ishechad B'Lev Echad. So someone came to me very upset. Rabbi, can I get halacha? You're wiping your feet on a Rashi? Wiping your feet on Chazal? Ki Ishechad B'Lev Echad. So I showed him Tosfos, I showed him this Ramah, I showed him this Tshuva, several Tshuvas, all say the same thing. If you're quoting a Chazal, B'Lashon Melitza, it's a logo. It's not a chazal. It's not a source sheet with Divrei Torah that we put out on the floor for you to come wipe your feet on. It's a mat that contains a logo where the logo, Beloshen Melitza, as a, how do you translate Melitza? It's an expression. It's embracing the language of the rabbis to create a modern expression. The expression is based on the language of chazal, but it's not actually repeating a chazal. So based on Tosos, that's permissible. No, so we ended up taking, if you look at the mat, you see it's the logo minus the words Ki Ishechad B'Lev Echad. We try to make everyone happy at Boca Raton Synagogue. You have the same shah that comes up on wedding invitations. People will write on top. Od Yishama Biara Yehuda V'chutos Yerushalayim. Can you throw it in the garbage? So Rav Yashiv, others of Shlomazam, they paskin beferish. If it's used on the invitation as a melitza, it's an expression. So a romantic expression for a beautiful wedding. We talked about, I don't remember why it came up, last year, this year, Psukim from Shir Hashirim. I told you, remember, Rav Shecht is very mak, but you're not supposed to quote Psukim from Shir Hashirim in the context of human romance. People use Psukim from Shir Hashirim on wedding invitations. It's a big halachic question. But if you're using some other pasuk, but you're using it as a melitza, it's an expression, so then it would be permissible to throw it in the garbage. Yes.
New bill.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
Oh.
I'll tell you,
based
on the Piskei Tshuvas we just saw in America, you have an even more explicit question. Let's say you have nothing else to do in the Beis HaKisei, you want to count your money. You're going to count your money in the Beis HaKisei. In God we trust, G-O-D. Can you take your dollar bill out in the Beis HaKisei? It says God. In God, can you exchange money in the Beis HaKisei? And there's some of those European countries, for the little hole in the ground, you got to pay to get in. So can you, I don't think the rubles have the in God we trust on them. Right.
And they didn't know how much they put down, so
yeah,
they didn't pick it up. And the cleaning, I call the cleaning day every week. You can take whatever is there.
That's a good deal. English newspapers are fine. The question is, do they have sections that have Divrei Torah? So every English Jewish newspaper has. So let's finish reading. If the pasuk is there to learn the pasuk, then it's asur. If it's there as an expression, then it's permissible. If a heretic is quoting it as an expression, and for that individual, the author, the expression has no sacred value, so then the Rambam writes, so if you have a Sefer Torah that's written by a kofar, you could bring it in the bathroom. You could burn it, you could destroy it. It has no kedusha whatsoever. It doesn't help us, because even if the author had no intent, when we're reading it, we read it through the filter of it being a sacred language. So a person should be careful and should avoid, technically speaking, if it's only an expression, it's permissible, but a person has to be very careful. Okay, weiter in the Gemara. Yochol Yatzim Einov. Everyone see where we are? The two dots. Two dots almost halfway down through the wide lines. See it? Yachol. Maybe a person will see a zakein. Yatzim einav kemisha lo ra'uhu. We're going back on the brisa. Right, we saw a brisa on the last daf, and now we're dissecting the brisa. We said the whole brisa, and now we're taking it line by line in order to analyze it further. So the brisa entertained. Maybe you can close your eyes. So you're sitting there, you're comfortably sunken into your couch, and who wants to get up? So you see the Talmud Chacham coming out of the corner of your eyes. What are you going to do? Close your eyes. You're going to pretend you're chapping the drimmel, you're taking a shluf, you don't see him. That way you can avoid standing up. So that's what the Braisa said, Talmud Lomar, takum v'yareisa. Right, remember the Braisa said, takum v'yareisa, get up, and be a yirei shamayim. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows whether you saw him or not. Maybe you can fool the Zakein and the Talmud Chacham, you can't fool the Eibishter, the one above. Says the Gemara, No, I didn't. I wasn't reading inside. So ask the Gemara, frag the Gemara, Atu Bereshi Askinan. What are we talking about? Rishayim? Why'd the Braisa even entertain this halacha? What are we talking about? Some no good Eisvarf reject Russia who closes his eyes to pretend he didn't see the Zakein and the Talmud Chacham. The Braisa had to have a special limud. The Pasuk had to have a hekesh with a limud all to teach me. What do you mean? What do we do for Rishayim? Ella, yochel yatzim einav mikamid lum teizman chiyuva. No. We're not talking about where the Talmud Chacham is in your presence and you're going to close your eyes as if you didn't see him. What are we talking about? Before the Talmud Chacham gets within your four amos. So before the chiyuv begins, before he's in your four amos, before the chiyuv begins, you'll close your eyes. So when the time of the obligation arrives, when the Talmud Chacham enters the four amos, now he's not seeing him. And Mamela, if you don't see him, you don't have to stand for him. Talmud Lomar, Takum V'yareisa. That's what the Braisa is teaching me, that you have to stand up and have Yira Shamayim. Because Baruch Hu knows what's in your heart. You can't pretend differently in order to escape, in order to avoid. So you see from here. What? You're not creating the chi, right. You're allowing the chiyuv to be created, even though you could use creativity to avoid the chiyuv. V'yareisa. Ribbono Shalom knows what you're doing, and don't avoid it, and don't avoid the opportunity to do a mitzvah. This amazing Bir Halacha. This comes up elsewhere in Halacha. Page 5 in the handout. Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Nesias Kapayim. Simen Kuf Chav Ches. Duchening. 128. Sif Dalet. Top line. Kesha'akonim einam rotzim lalos l'duchen. The Kohanim don't want to get up and duchen. Einam tzrichim l'sha'os chutz min Nesla Knesses. Ela b'sha'a shekore achazin Kohanim. If the Kohanim want to avoid duchening, their arms are tired, they don't want to take the shoes off, so they have to not be in there when the Chazan calls out Kohanim. Aval kedei shelo yomru sheim pegumim, nagu shelo likanes lebeis hakneses, ad sheyigmaru beis birchas Kohanim. So really, they can be inside for birchas Kohanim, a Kohen who doesn't want to duchen. They just have to be outside when they're calling the Kohen. But we have the minhag, says the Shulchan Aruch, that if they want to avoid Birchas Kohanim, they stay out the whole time. Because if they're inside but not going up to the Duchen, they look like they have a Pagam, a Mum. They look like they're ineligible to recite Birchas Kohanim. Okay, so that's the halacha. Why would they want to avoid going up? Look at the Mishnah Berura. Kisha Kohanim Einam Rotzim, Sif Kot and Yud Beis, the second line. Kigon Shu Chala Shu Chadoma. Let's say they're weak, they're tired, it's hard to stand. I am Magen Avram Shkatz Hashem Amorachai Sheyotzei Tzorach Latzei Kodom Shemaschilim Ritzei. The Magen Avram quotes the Mordechai, it's not enough to leave before the Chazan says Kohanim, but rather you have to leave even before Ritzei. Batam Kedesh Lo Yom Rishem Pegum Kedesh Lo Yakrov Ritzei, because Ritzei is the minug when the Kohanim go up, so whenever would be the time that they'd go up and you're not going up, that's when you leave. V'gam Shalaviyim Yotzke Mayim Lo Yavov Yomru Lehem Lalos. Leviim who are pouring on their hands, don't tell them to go up. Because for poskim the psulim lalos l'duchen, afilu psulim the rabbanon ain't tzorachin latzis l'chutz, the kachashchaz and kori kohanim ain't kavanaso ala psulim. If you're pasul, if you have a cholol, you have a pasul, they don't have to leave. Chazim wasn't thinking about them to begin with when he said kohanim. V'iskimu ha'od, afilu amru lo beferish alei, even if they tell the kohen to go up, b'kshem bebeis hakneset rak psulim, v'adle kavanaso shliach tzibush kori kohanim u'aleim, afilu achi ain't tzorachin lalos, Einam Ovrim Ba'asei. To be present and not go up is a violation of an asei. To Einam Ninoi Mitzad Atzmi L'Chacham Manu. But if you're a pasul, you're not violated. It's not a bittel asei that you didn't go up. You're ineligible to go up because you're a pasul. U'mikom Akom Be'ein Be'beis HaKnesses Kohanim Achayrim Rak Eilu Psulim Derbonim Mitzad Eli Rav Shiyotz L'Chutz Kodim Ritzei Chei Mashmer B'Kiva Eger. So B'Kiva Eger and the Eli Rav Paskin, if there's no one in the shul other than psulim, even though they shouldn't have to leave, if there's no one else to go up, they should leave, because otherwise it looks like they are ignoring and they're being mevatlan asay. They're not mevatlan asay because they're ineligible, but it looks like they are. Ela b'sharot lomer mele in chal aleim shuv chiyav afilik shnichtu achar kach. Said the mechaber, they just have to not be inside for kohanim. They technically could come in, but they shouldn't, because then they look like they're b'nei grusha, b'nei chalutza. They look like they have a pogum. Look at the biur halacha. Zokto chavetz chayim in his biur halacha. I underlined it on the left. See it? I am b'mishnah berurah shekasa gigon mipnei chulsha. Why would someone be walking out? Why would someone not be going to duchen? Their arms are tired. Dilav achi bavade lo shapir lemevad achi shivato mitzvah sasei bechinam. To walk out for no reason when you have the strength and the virility, when you have the ability to go duchen, and you're leaving just because you're not in the mood. Chalila, says the Chafetz Chaim, that'd be terrible. The only reasonable reason to leave is neachusha, because you're weak. And this is similar to other positive commandments that require an act. Kigon tzitzis. Delav chovas gavru elachovas mona. Even though we paskin, there's no obligation to wear a four-cornered garment. The obligation is, if you have a four-cornered garment, the garment is obligated in tzitzis. But nevertheless, it's an asay. We say it's wrong. Let's say you say to yourself, you know what? It's uncomfortable, it's hot, I'm not in the mood. I don't want to wear tzitzis, so I'm not wearing a four-cornered garment. And by avoiding wearing a four-cornered garment, I have no obligation to put tzitzis on the corners. So says the Chafetz Chaim, that's not right. You have the opportunity to do a mitzvah asei b'maisa. Do the maisa, which will obligate you in the asei. V'on she'nami ala b'idan rischa. U'v'emez gemar mafurashu. How do I know this, says the Chavetz Chaim? How do I know that even when you can technically avoid a mitzvah, get out of a mitzvah, how do I know you shouldn't? Says the Chavetz Chaim, our Gemara. Because when you're sitting down, and the Talmud Chacham out of the corner of your eye comes, he's not yet in your Dalet Amos, and you could have closed your eyes to pretend you didn't see him, so that by the time he enters your Dalet Amos, you're not obligated. Says the Chavetz Chaim, the Gemara says, V'yareisa me'alokecha, Hashem knows what you're doing. So when you avoid wearing a four-cornered garment because you don't want to wear tzitzis, true, technically, you've done nothing wrong. But V'yareisa me'alokecha, Hashem knows what you're doing. And if you're a Kohen and you want to walk out for duchening, not because you're too weak, you just don't feel like duchening. V'yareisa me'alokecha, Hashem knows what you're doing. An amazing biur halacha. It means that the responsibility to lead a halachic life is not just to fulfill the technical mandates of halacha. It means to avoid using the loopholes available to us. We have countless legal loopholes within halacha. But the halacha itself says, don't use the legal loopholes. Why? V'yareisa me'alokecha. Because Kadosh Baruch Hu knows what's in your heart. V'yareisa me'alokecha. It's like, the Pasuk says, when a woman makes a neder, and she thinks she's violating the neder, but it turns out her husband already relieved her of the neder, V'Hashem yislach la, Pasuk says. Hashem has to forgive her. She needs kapara. What do you mean she needs kapara? What kind of kapara? She got off with a technicality. She got lucky. But if she appears before the judge, the evidence is on her side. She can show that it was only, she said, she takes a neder, a shvua, I'm not going to eat potato chips. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, she gives into Yetzihara, she dips into a bag of mesquite flavor, what are the crunchy kind called? Kettle. Now I'm showing you my weakness. Mesquite flavored kettle potato chips. She can't hold back anymore. She digs into a bag. So she feels terrible. She wants to experience the consequences of having violated the neder. Comes along her husband and says, I've got a video showing you that at 2:30, I was mefir your neder. I was mata your neder. Good news, you did nothing wrong. Nevertheless, the Pasuk says, Hashem yislach la, Hashem has to forgive her. Why does Hashem have to forgive her? Because intent matters. Normally, within American law, you talk about intent when the law is violated. Some laws require the violation plus the intent. I don't think in American law you could be liable if you have intent but you did nothing wrong. You need to have done something wrong, and then the question of intent. Judaism says, even without having done something wrong, intent also matters. So here too, V'yareisa me'alokecha, intent matters. There's a legal loophole. You closed your eyes before the Talmud Chacham got within your Dalet Amos, so technically you weren't responsible. Said the Gemara, V'yareisa me'alokecha, and from our Gemara, the Chavetz Chaim extrapolates to the case of duchening and to tzitzis, and says, don't use legal loopholes even when they're at your disposal. Yes. It's a very sad story. There's a tshuva in Mamamakim, Mima Makim, Rav Oshri, who was the Rav of the Kovna Ghetto. It's 5 volumes called Shalos HaTshuvos Mima Makim, the tshuvas that he answered in the ghetto itself. He scribbled the questions, he scribbled the answers, he obviously didn't have access to Sfarim. He went back, he dug them up, and he produced them, expanded them into 5 volumes. There's actually an English translation of that took a bunch of the tshuvas and put it out in English. And in there he has this question of a Kohen who was, I don't know if he was a capo, I don't know what position he was in, what happened exactly in the Holocaust, who felt he had blood on his hands, does that preclude him from duchening? And he goes through a whole tshuva. Okay, weiter. Tana. When do you have to stand up? Ezo kima sheyesh bahidur, haveyomer za'ar ba'amos. When do you have to stand up? So we learned a hekesh between the word kima and the word hidur. We have to stand in a way which bestows honor. When standing, does standing bestow honor? When the person is within 4 amos. Why does it not bestow honor when they're outside of 4 amos? Because they can't see you. They have no idea you're standing for them. It's only evident you're standing in their presence when you're in their presence. When are you in their presence? When you're within four amma. Amar Abaye comes along Abaye and he says, Lo Amran, you have to stand for your Rebbe when? Barabo she'eno mufak. Barabo mufak melo enav. So when is it that only within four amos? When it is your Astam Rebbe. But if it's, I'm sorry, a Rabo she'eno mufak. If it's your Rebbe mufak, then there's no shira for amos, it's melo enav. If you see them across the room, if you see them across the campus, you have to stand up for them even at a great distance. It's only Rabo she'eno mufak, a Rebbe who's eino mufak, that it is for amos. You should all be jumping out of your skin to ask a question right now, but we'll come back to it in a moment. Abaye mikav achazel leudne dechamra derav Yosef deasi. When Abaye would see the ears of the donkey of Rav Yosef havekayim, in other words, his Rebbe mufak, he didn't wait for him to get within his dalad amos. When he saw the ears, meaning the head of the donkey, even before he saw him, he already stood. Abaye vigorachav chamra. Abaye was riding his donkey and he came on the edge of the river. Yosef Rav Misharshev Rabbanan B'idach Gisav Lokamim Mikamei. Rabbi Misharshev and the Chachamim, who were his Talmidim, were sitting on the other side of the river. They didn't stand for Abaye. Amalhu Abaye said, V'lav Rav Mufak Ana. Aren't I your Rabbi Mufak? And for a Rabbi Mufak, even more than four Amos. So true, you're on the other side of the river, but it's Melo Enav, you can see me. Why aren't you standing? Amrule, they said, Lav Adaitim. We weren't paying attention. We didn't notice you there. Again, Mustama, they were Mahara B'Divrei Torah. They didn't notice him there. But had they noticed him, Taka, for your Rebbe Mufak, you have to stand. The Ritva and many, many others all ask the same question, and you should be asking it right now too. What is it? The Gemara here is giving a shir. For a Rebbe She'eino Mufak, you have to stand when they're within four amas. For your Rebbe Mufak, you have to stand as long as you can see them. Okay, these are all good questions, but not the one that's bothering me. Let's look at the Ritva, page 6. Zok the Ritva. Stop on the bottom line, the left-hand side. Forget where the arrow is. Next page. Talmidei Chachamim do not rise one for the other when they're equal in wisdom. Talmidei Chachamim of Bavel stand one for another, and they tear kriya when one of their colleagues dies. Because these colleagues, these chavrusas, each learn one from the other, they consider the other as if they're their Rebbe. Typically, to have a Talmud Chacham. That's the Ritva's Kasha. Why did the Gemara distinguish between Rabbo She'eino Mufak and Rabbo Mufak? What about the fact that someone's not your Rebbe at all, but they're a Talmud Chacham? The whole halacha of standing is standing for a Talmud Chacham. The Gemara sounds like, yes, Stam Talmud Chacham, if he's not your Rebbe, you don't stand at all. Because the Gemara only gave the categories of a Rebbe, She'eino Mufak, four Amos. A Rebbe Mufak, as far as you could see. Well, what about a Stam Talmud Chacham, who's not your Rebbe at all? Even a Rebbe She'eino Mufak. So why did the Gemara say Rebbe She'eino Mufak? Why didn't the Gemara say Talmud Chacham you have to stand for within Dalet Amos? Why do I need to know that? If you have to stand for a Talmud Chacham, Rebbe She'eino Mufak all the more so. Ritva Esabam Kasha. Why does the Gemara distinguish between Rabbi Mufak and Rabbi She'eino Mufak? Distinguish between a Talmud Chacham and a Rebbe Mufak. Rebbe She'eino Mufak is included in Talmud Chacham. The Stama, you wouldn't have a Rebbe who's not a Talmud Chacham. So Rebbe She'eino Mufak is included in Talmud Chacham. So why would the Gemara distinguish between Rebbe Mufak and Rebbe She'eino Mufak? Distinguish between Talmud Chacham, who you have to stand within Dalet Amos, and Rebbe Mufak, you have to stand as far as the eye can see. Vagar and Rebbe Eliezer Mimitz, otherwise known as the Mimetz, otherwise known as the Yireim, Haymedaktik Mikan. So the Yireim Shita is Ein Chiyav Amida B'fnei Tamidei Chachamim Mida Oraisa El Amida Rabbanan. The reason the Gemara didn't talk about Tamidei Chachamim here is because The halacha of standing for a talmid chacham is a din derabbanim. Aye, when they say we're talking about darta pnei zaken, no, zakan chachma. That's talking about your rebbe, rebbe muvak, rebbe eno muvak. So to be obligated to arise to stand for a talmid chacham, it's not just a talmid chacham. It's a talmid chacham who's also a rebbe, but a talmid chacham who's not your rebbe, you have to stand for them. But that's only midrabbanim. The Ritva rejects the Yoreim. He says Rabbi Lezer Mimitz is wrong. El de Talmudo afilo hin shavim. O gadol mimenu chayev lama b'fanav. Til midin talmid chachama yipater kida amrim. The Ritva rejects. The Ritva rejects this answer. Hold on. Yeah. So the Ritva holds, so again, the Yoreim holds, standing for a Stam Talmud Chacham is Darabbanan, only if it's your Rebbe is it Midoraisa, and within it being your Rebbe, it depends if it's Muvak or Eino Muvak, will determine the Shir. The Ritva disagrees, and the Ritva says, every Talmud Chacham is Daraisa. V'adarata p'nei zakein. But the Chiv to stand for your Rebbe is even when you're bigger than your Rebbe. Whereas standing for a Talmud Chacham is only if the Talmud Chacham is bigger than you. I don't mean in height or weight. I mean in wisdom and knowledge. In other words, you have to stand. Exactly. You have to stand for a Talmud Chacham who's not your Rebbe until you surpass them. Because we already said that a Talmud Chacham doesn't have to stand for their colleague, their peer. So certainly if you become bigger than the Talmud Chacham, you don't have to stand. But your Rebbe, even if you surpass your Rebbe, you have to continue to stand for your Rebbe. Now there's the Ritva is bothered by the same question as the Yoreim. And he also has to come up with a chiluk, but he gives a different chiluk. The Yoreim's chiluk was Daraisa Darabanan, and the Ritva's chiluk is, does the halacha continue even after one were to surpass either the Talmud Chacham or the Rebbe? How do you define these categories? Rebbe Muvak, Rebbe She'eno Muvak. So the Rama writes in Siman Shin Mem. Why is this here in Siman Shin Mem? Even I had to bring my reading glasses for this page. Because this is Yoredeiah's Hilchos Kriya. This is the halacha of whom you tear Kriya for. One loses one of the seven relatives, mother, father, brother, sister, son, daughter, spouse. One is obligated to tear Kriya. The left side for parents, the right side for non-parents. So one of the categories of people that you have to tear Kriya for is Rebbe Mufak. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Zayin. Simon Shin Mem Zayin. A chacham v'atam a chacham sheshalon osa dvar halacha b'chol makom v'omra koren alav. What's the shear of a tam a chacham for whom you tear kriya? Someone you can ask in any area of halacha, and they can answer. Afil lachar kvura b'yom shmua. Even if the person has been buried, the tam a chacham has already been buried, but it's the first time you've heard about it. Imu toch lamed yom. You still tear kriya if it's within shloshim. V'korei alav b'shas hespedo. When do you tear the kriya? During the hespedim. And the shear of kriya is like for a parent, till you reveal the heart. Have the practice of tearing a tefach. Even though one is not teaching the other, Gedola Yisrael, one their peers, their colleagues, one with the other, the minhag is for each of them to tear kriya on another a tefach. Says the Rama. Says the Rama, so why don't we, every time a Talmud Chacham, Baruch Hashem, we're zocha to have many Talmid Chacham who can answer in any area of halacha. Why aren't we tearing Kriya? Every day, unfortunately, we get an update about another Talmud Chacham who is Nifter. So the Rama Paskins, because we say that this halacha of the tearing kriya is only if the Talmud Chacham is your Rebbe. If it's your Rebbe, or to be your Rebbe doesn't mean that you had to actually have learned in his shir. My brother-in-law, for example, was never in Rav Shechter's shir, but he listens to Rav Shechter all the time online. He knows Rav Shechter's shirim better than I do, and I was in Rav Shechter's shir. He considers himself a Talmud of Rav Shechter. That's true all the more so when you could virtually be in the shir through the use of technology. But even if you just learn the Svarim, you consider yourself a Talmud of that person, you'd have the status of being a Talmud. They are your Rebbe to the extent of tearing Kriya. Yeah. Okay. You see, similarly, on the next page, Shulchan Aruch and Siman Resh Mem Da Resh Mem Gimel. Resh Mem Gimel is Hilchos Kavod Talmud Chacham. The obligation to show respect to the Talmud Chacham. Says, I'm sorry, Resh Mem Dalad. Aleph. Mitzvahs Aseh Lekum Tnei Kol Chacham. Afilu Ein Azokin Ela Yonik V'Chacham. Afilu Ein Arabo. Rak Shu Godol Mimenu V'Roy Lilmod Mimenu. So you see the Ramah, the Shir is, we paskin, you have to stand. Again, according to the Urim, it's only Darabanan. According to the Ritva, it's Daraisa. You have to stand for every Talmud Chacham, as long as they're bigger than you. Right? That's the Ritva's qualification. As long as they're bigger than you. B'chein, mitzvah lakum deseva, and ben shiv nishana, and so on. Halacha beis, meima saichayiv lakum deyem, mishayagil, toch arba amosav, ad shiavra, mikneged panav, v'rochav kimahalach dami. The halacha is you stand for them once they've entered four of amos, until they are no longer in your presence. Also, lahatzim ein abimenu kodesh yegil toch arba amosav. You can't cover your eyes before they arrive within four amos. Kedesh leistarch lokum neish yegil toch arba amosav. That was the v'yareisa me'alokecha. You have to have a sense of yira shemayim. The shachir in sifkot and beis quotes tosos ar tosos. She muflag b'chachma u'mevim beis Yosef. Chen kasav arash ein zem muflag. Again, how big a Talmud Chacham? Is it the Gadol Hador? Does the Gadol Hador have the status of Rebbe Muvak for everybody? These are all discussions within Halacha. You see it as well in the Radvaz, source page 10. Page 10 is the Radvaz as a Sefer Tameh and Mitzvos. As a Sefer, sorry, called Mitzudas David of the Radvaz. And here, Mitzvah Chav Gimel, he talks about this Halacha, to stand for Talmid HaChachamim. We're almost out of time, if not already out of time. Yes?
Question. What happens if I'm sitting in the back of the shul,
yeah,
and the Rav walks in, let's say, from his study, he's not in my small amos.
But he's your Rebbe, so that's Malo'enov. If he's your Rebbe, Muvo. Says the Radvaz, L'chabed lom dey Torah shenem dey seva tokom v'adart b'nei zakein amur razal zeshakon ha'chochma. Nei shadavar masu l'alev, because this is something which only you can know. Is he a Rebbe, not your Rebbe? Did you see him? Did you not see him? Mitzvah zukolal is beidvar. The mitzvah contains two components, l'chabed ha-zakein, and l'chabed ha-chacham. So why do we say zakein? Tam ha-mitzvah, he continues. I want to get to our part. Roy l'chabdo. Geder mitzvah u'shafilu chacham ha-bochar chayv l'hadr sa-zakein, af pishein ha-chacham. The Radvaz here, again, we're out of time, so read this on your own, but the Radvaz here says that all of this is Birshus HaRabim. In the Beis Medrash or Shul, even 1,000 Amma is considered 4 Amos. Here, on the left-hand side. Imaya Beis Medrash, O Beis HaKnesses, Afilu Elef Amma, Kedalef Amos, Dainin Lai. V'lo Amru Melo'enav, Ela Birshus HaRabim. When do we say Melo'enav? That the measure is a distance that you could see? That's Birshus HaRabim. But in a Beis Medrash or a Shul, 1,000 Amas, like Dalet Amas. That's the makom of the Rav, of the Rebbe. Anyway, he says,
that's just the Rav, that's not Rebbe Duva.
Yeah. He says, I lost the place. Yeah. V'lo amrim lo'enav ha'zha, v'zu chumri yisera v'lanogu kein. Outside, to say it's even beyond Malo'enav, that's a chumra yisera. The Ben Ishchai disagrees on page 12. The Ben Ishchai, on the bottom, Yud Gimel. The Ben Ishchai says, Ne'ema sa'chai v'adun lakum b'neyem, m'she'agilu toch arba amos, av'ad she'avru ch'neged panav, o yoshu, from when they enter your four amos till they're out of it, or until they sit down. V'mrotza lakum, you should not stand before they arrive. If you think you're going to give a greater kavod. If it's one room, if it's the shul, the Beis Medrash, do you say the whole room has the status of Dalet Amos? For example, we say that when it comes to washing Negavasa in the morning. The whole room has the status of Dalet Amos. Do you apply that principle here? He says, that's a suffix v'ayin mashkaz of agon chida in the Birki Yosef. Kevan to suffix a doraisa aslin l'chumra v'tzarech lakum dayam api shash v'rochog menu. We are makbid that even more than four Amos you should stand because it's a suffix and a doraisa. He says, if you know they're walking within your four amos, wait till they get there and then stand, because then it's more obvious that you're standing out of kavod. But if it's outside, then you don't have to. The last thing I want to share with you, we don't have time to go through, is the Chidushei Agriz, the Griz Rav Yitzchak Zev Halevi Soloveitchik, Rav Velvel, the Brisker Rav, the uncle of Rav Yashaber Soloveitchik. So this is the very first piece he has in his Chidushei Agriz, is on the Rambam, Hilchos Talmud Torah. We don't have time to go through it, but I'll tell it to you outside. He basically asks in the Rambam, similar to what the Ritva asked on our Gemara, that it seems to formulate the halacha having to do with Rabbo, why didn't we say it's a halacha din in Talmud Chacham? The halacha is you have to stand for all Talmud Chachamim, not just if you're Rebbe. So why didn't we formulate it that way? So he ends up with a big Chiddush, and he says, the halacha of Vahadarta Pnei Zaken, of Hidur and Kima, is a din in Kavod, that applies to every Talmud Chacham. For your Rebbe, there's an additional component. Not only is there Kavod, there's Yira. And therefore, the standard, the Shir, is different if they're your Rebbe. True, you have to stand for a Talmud Chacham too, but there's Tzvei Dinim. When you stand for your Rebbe, there's Tzvei Dinim. When you stand for the Talmud Chacham, there's only one. When you stand for the Talmud Chacham, it's Kavod, it's Vahadarta Pnei Zaken. And when you stand for the Rebbe, there's also a component of Mora. There's also a component of Yira. It's kedai to learn this piece inside. We're out of time. Chag Kosher v'sameach to everyone. We'll look forward to seeing you in Mitzvah Shem on the other side.